So good morning, church. Hey, Dwayne, I got news for you. Julie's always going to be right. And your impatience will never become hers. That's funny, because I get where Abby's coming from, and as a dad, I get where Dwayne's coming from. But as a parent, I get where Julie's coming from. Abby, you got 5 more years. Let that thing heal. Because you don't want to have tape that dude up every time you play or whatever for 5 more years. Hey, I'm excited about today's message, and I'll tell you why. I believe, I didn't look back, I didn't go scroll back through. I believe I preached this Sunday last year. And I believe that's not a coincidence, because I believe there's a lot I missed in what God wanted me to say. So the title of the message is Journey to Christmas 2020. Man, does anybody even remember Christmas last year? We've had a lot this year. A lot. Before I get into this, though, I'm gonna pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just come before you today, and as we head into the Christmas season, Lord, I'm going to share little stories and little things you put on my heart, Lord, but at the end of the day, this is about you sending your Son to this earth and be born to human flesh. But that's not the end of the story. We already know he won. Lord, we love you for that, and we thank you for that. In your name we pray. Amen. I'm going to start with a little story on the Book of Faith that I found that somebody shared, and I thought it was pretty cool. Just a Christmas story to make you think. It's called The Little White Envelope. It's just a small white envelope stuck among the branches of our Christmas tree. No name, no identification, no inscription. It has peeked through the branches of our tree for the past 10 years. It all began because my husband Mike hated Christmas. Oh, not the true meaning of Christmas, but the commercial aspects of it. Overspending and a frantic running around to the last minute to get a tie for Uncle Harry and the dusting powder for Grandma. The gifts given in desperation because you couldn't think of anything else. Knowing he felt this way, I decided one year to bypass the usual shirts, sweaters, ties, and so forth. I reached for something special just for Mike. The inspiration came in an unusual way. Our son Kevin, who was 12 that year, was on the wrestling team at the school he attended. Shortly before Christmas, there was a non-league match against a team sponsored by an inner-city church. These youngsters, dressed in sneakers so ragged that shoestrings seemed to be the only thing holding them together, presented a sharp contrast to our boys in the spiffy blue and gold uniforms and the sparkling new wrestling shoes. As the match began, I was alarmed to see that the other team was wrestling without headgear, a kind of light helmet designed to protect the wrestler's ears. It was a luxury the ragtag team obviously could not afford. Well, we ended up walloping them. We took every weight class. Mike, seated beside me, shook his head sadly. I just wish one of them could have won, he said. They have a lot of potential, but losing like this could take the heart right out of them. Mike loved kids, all kids. He so enjoyed coaching Little League football, baseball, and lacrosse. That's when the idea came for his present came. That afternoon, I went to a local sporting goods store, bought an assortment of wrestling headgear and shoes and sent them anonymously to the inner city church. Sorry. On Christmas Eve, I placed a small white envelope on the tree, the note inside telling Mike what I had done and that this was his gift from me. Mike's smile was the brightest thing about Christmas that year. And that smile, same bright smile, lit up succeeding years. For each Christmas, I followed the tradition. One year, sending a group of mentally handicapped youngsters to a hockey game. Another year, a check to a pair of elderly brothers whose home had burned to the ground the week before Christmas, and on and on. The white envelope became the highlight of our Christmas. It was always the last thing opened on Christmas morning, and our children, ignoring their new toys, would stand with wide-eyed anticipation as their dad lifted the envelope from the tree to reveal its contents. As the children grew, the toys gave way to more practical presents, but the small white envelope never lost its allure. The story doesn't end there. You see, we lost Mike due to dreaded cancer. When Christmas rolls around, I was still so wrapped in grief that I barely got the tree up. But Christmas Eve found me placing an envelope on the tree, and the next morning I found it was magically joined by three more. Unbeknownst to the others, man, that's tough. Each of our three children had for the first time placed a white envelope on the tree for their dad. The tradition has grown, and someday will expand even further with our grandchildren standing to take down that special envelope. That was pretty cool. And I want you to understand that it's, Christmas could have ended that day when Jesus came. Just like that could have ended when Mike died, but it didn't. Jesus' legacy of love carries on forever. One more neat thing I found this morning. Oh, maybe. Good news is they had this blown up so they could read it, so I'll be able to read it. Did you ever really listen to the words of the little drummer boy? I'm going to take the pa-rum-pa-pum-pums out. But listen to this. Come, they told me, our newborn king to see, our finest gifts we bring to lay before the king, so to honor him when we come. Little baby, I am a poor boy too. I have no gift to bring to lay before the king. Shall I play for you on my drum? Mary nodded. The ox and lamb kept time. I played my drums for him. I played my best for him. Then he smiled at me. And, you know, I've known that song forever. Today, for the first time, I actually heard, and the one that stuck out to me was Mary nodded and gave permission for me to play my drum. Guys, we have a unique opportunity to serve a born Savior and a risen Lord. And I think we get so tied up in what we do here on earth and we forget about it sometimes. But today, the journey to Christmas 2020, I'm going to take you through a bunch of different passages, and some of them are going to be on the board. I didn't tell Julie what order I was going in, so they may or may not match. But I'm going to start with Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 32 and 33. And the main reason I'm throwing a bunch of verses at you, because it talks about journey. And guys, here in 2020, that's where we're at. We're on a journey. You know, this disease, or this whatever you want to call it, has made our life more difficult. It's like Dwayne says, it's tested our patience. Because I agree with him, I love going shopping at 10 o'clock at night because, man, there's nobody there. But now I can't. But Deuteronomy 1:23. And all these first verses are going to talk about a journey. But there's something in common. In spite of this, you did not trust in the Lord your God, who went ahead of you on your journey in fire by night and in a cloud by day to search out the place for you to camp and show you the way you should go. Guys, he is there every single moment of our life. And it starts with, in spite of this, you did not trust the Lord. But he still does this on our journey. He tells us where to go. He shows us where we should camp. He shows us where we should live. He shows us how we should be in the workplace. Okay? So that's the first. Deuteronomy 2:7. The Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hands. He has watched over your journey through this vast wilderness. These 40 years, the Lord your God has been with you. You have not lacked anything. Guys, here's what I want you to take. This is when the Israelites are leaving Egypt. And man, they're promised to live in the best place in the world, right? They're promised that God's going to take care of them. And he has. You know how long the Israelites were in captive for? Over 400 years. Nobody that was currently in the Israelite clan had any idea what it was like to live as a free man. So, you know, when I get something for the first time or I do something for the first time, what happens? Man, if I get a new toy, I take that thing out and I play with it for about 6 months, right? And I'm just happy. The Israelites were on a journey that they were delivered from God. And what's the first thing they started doing? Started complaining. Are we there yet? Lord, it's too dry. Lord, it's too hot. Why is it raining? Telling Moses that God's not with them. He just delivered you from slavery. And you don't have any patience. It's funny how Dwayne's communion devotion ties right in with this. If you guys don't think God's at work, you need to preach one Sunday. Or you need to do devotions one Sunday. Because I'm telling you, Dwayne had no idea what we were talking about. Matt and Doug and Bill had no idea what we were talking about today. Everything ties together, and that's pretty cool. So there's two journeys that God is always with us. Next passage I want to use is Judges 18, verses 6. We're going to turn over about two books to your right. And I think these are all in the bulletin. So, you know, these are just great verses that talk about journey. The priest answered them, "Go in peace. Your journey has the Lord's approval." Guys, I'm here to tell you today, 2,000 years after Jesus was born, our journey has the Lord's approval. He knew 2,000 years ago what we were going to do on our journey today. If you can't serve that God, I don't know what you're going to serve. It's pretty cool. So understand that your journey has God's approval. Ezra chapter 8, three more books over. Chapter 8, verse 21. And this is, I don't know where the Ahava Canal is, but it's somewhere around Jerusalem. But this is what happened. This is a guy calling out to our God. "There by the Ohava Canal, I proclaimed a fast, so that we might humble ourselves before our God and ask Him for a safe journey for us and for our children with all our possessions. Guys, when we're going somewhere or we're on some journey, do we humble ourselves? I can tell you that me, a lot of times, it's my mindset is, this is what I've got to do. This is what I've got, where I've got to go. This is what I have to get done. I got to humble myself. You know, God hits me with that 2x4 again. And He says, hey, look at me. And this message has been planned for, I don't know, a long time. It's funny how it works. 2 weeks ago I was supposed to preach. I had a terrible head cold. So Matt preached. Last week I thought I was going to preach. But Doug had a message. And cool. So, again, God's plan is perfect. If you ever question that, put a message together, put a devotional together. Next passage I want to use, Isaiah 35:8. And I'll get to the main passage in a couple seconds, I promise. I love this one. Isaiah 35:8. And a highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about it. Guys, there's coming a day when we are going to walk the way of holiness. No fools, no wicked, no backstabbers, no liars, no cheaters, except for me. Because I'm safe. But when we get on that, it's going to be perfect. Anybody know where that leads? Right here. To our Savior in heaven. And I can't wait for that day. It's going to be pretty cool. It's going to be pretty cool. Okay. Romans 15, this is the last small verse about journey we're going to talk about today. Then we're going to go into the journey. So this is Paul's plan to visit Rome. And I have 15:24. I'm actually going to read 23. But now there is no more place for me to work in these regions. And since I have been longing for many years to visit you, I'm going to stop right there. Do we understand what Paul was doing? Paul didn't come to a church on Sunday and preach the gospel. Paul went out to the church on Sunday to preach the gospel. And in this verse it says, there is no more work for me here. Guys, I wish I could look at you and tell you that there is no more work for us to do out there. But it's not the case. There is a ton of work for us to do out there. It's easy when we come here on Sunday. You know what? It's easy for me to write a message. It's easy for me, well, not easy for me. That part's a little harder. For me to get up here and speak. But it's hard for me out there in the world. Why? Because I got to humble myself. It all goes back. All these verses are working together. I've got to humble myself and be the Lord's servant and go out there and do it. Verse 24. I plan to do so. It means he plans to visit when I go to Spain. I hope to see you while passing through and to have you assist me on my journey there after I have enjoyed your company for a while. So guys, all these talks, all these verses we've seen so far or mention the word journey. And I didn't know how many times journey was used in the Bible. It's used a lot more than these 6 or 7 verses. But all these verses come back to our God. He blesses it. We have to humble ourselves before Him. We have to go out. You know, if Christianity would just come to church on a Sunday, listen to an average message, good music, Christianity is easy, right? I can get out of bed on Sundays and come to church. It's the Monday through Saturday part that's hard about Christianity. But that's our journey. That's our journey. You know, some of us are blessed to journey not very far from home. Some of us are blessed to journey every day an hour away. Some of us are blessed to journey 2 hours away. But it's our journey. You know, sometimes I'm in awe of some people in this church. And it's funny because I need those people in my life. And I learn a lot from people in this church, whether I talk to you every day, once a week, every 3 weeks, or Sundays at church. I'm learning from you because I've said before, I'm a people learner, so I have to learn by example, right? I can't just take this word and say, oh, I understand what you're saying, God. I have to soak this word up and see it in place in somebody's life or my life before I understand what God's saying. The little drummer boy. I've known those words for 30 years probably. I'm 31. Plus. But I've never really taken the time to enjoy the journey through that song and listen and reflect on those words. So that was pretty cool. Okay, I'm just going to give you some examples of places you need to go to look these journeys up. I'm not going to concentrate on all of them. But in Exodus 12, 31 through 42, that is talking about the Israelites. And actually, you can read all of Exodus. Talk about how they got to the journey. You can read into Deuteronomy, and it still talks about the Israelites. But guys, understand this. They came out of 400 years of slavery. I do have some stats on this one I want to read to you, though. Do you realize how many people left Egypt? You know, the Bible tells us 600,000 men. Okay, let's say 400,000 of those men were married. Okay, so we have 200,000 men that aren't married, and another 800,000 men and their wives. Okay? This is math. If all of those 400,000 people had one kid, which probably most of them had more, but if they had one kid, you know what that total is leaving Egypt? 1.6 million people. How many people live in Columbus? I have no idea. I'm asking. Cleveland, you know that one, Maddie? Anybody know those? I don't know. But that is basically a huge city leaving. How'd you like to be Moses? Listen, I coach a softball team that has 15 girls on it. Okay? I can tell you that as the head coach, I have to be the author of the dictator because I got 15 young women that have 15 different opinions and they ain't getting it. Okay? So Moses had quite the task to deal with 1.6 million people. I'm sure there are days of Moses. He scratched his head. By the time he came down out of the mountains with the Ten Commandments. And if God's not in that journey, how did Moses and Aaron ever get control of that crowd when they were doing the stuff they were doing? You know, when I first read that story, and when I, as I've grown through that story, that's one of my favorite all-time stories. But as I've grown through that story, when I first started thinking about that story, I imagined Moses coming down there being 20, 25 people down there building altars, worshiping other gods. 1.6 million people! Moses didn't have a microphone. That's a pretty cool story. Another good story. Just look this up yourself. Joshua 3:6. It's when the Ark of the Covenant was being delivered. Joshua. How they took down the great city. It wasn't necessarily with violence. You know, they marched that ark around the city and sang and banged on cymbals and whatnot. And that tore that city down. If you don't think your God can handle your journey in 2020, but he did stuff like this, 1.6 million people delivered out of slavery, or tore a city down with cymbals and singing and whatever else. They didn't have dynamite. Okay? It's not like they could attack the city. It was a city on a hill. They marched around it. And they did exactly what the Lord told them to do, because they had a great leader that communicated daily with the Lord. Okay. Again, read that. It's great, great stuff. Another journey that intrigues me greatly, David's journey to be king. 1 Samuel chapter 15 through 2 Samuel chapter 2 basically breaks down what happened. And you know, Saul got rejected as king. And just read that story. David, again, was he perfect? No, he was not. David committed crimes that you and I never think of committing. But you know what David had? Had his God in his heart. And he had a servant's attitude. And whatever God told him to do, he was going to do. So was David's journey without strife? No. Did David have problems when he was in his journey? Absolutely. Sound familiar? Guys, this thing was presented and made and written for you and I. It's a history, is what this is, and that's why I love it. I love history. Okay? But what I don't love is when we keep doing the same thing over and over and over again, even though we have the history to back up what we should have done. And we're doing it in our America right now. I don't mean to be doom and gloom. Because at the end of the day, I know who won. We win. Our God wins. Man, it don't look like it out there in America today. Why is that? Because we're like the Israelites right now, and we're stumbling around looking for something to believe in. Something other than what we know we should believe in. Because there's going to come a time when we're going to see God's kingdom. We're going to see God re-entering and opening up the skies. And that's going to be pretty cool. One more story and then we'll get to the main passage. And I said the Israelites are probably my favorite story. I was wrong. This is my absolute favorite story. Genesis 21:22. Chapter 21:22. Story of Abraham. Abraham desperately wanted a family. He got one. I don't know how old he was when Isaac was born. 100 years old. Listen, I'm not even half of 100, and I don't want any more kids. I couldn't do it. It goes back to patience. Abraham had patience and understanding of God's plan. But what happened when God told me you're going to have a son? He laughed. He laughed. But the journey for me begins when Isaac is born and all the stuff they go through. I mean, they have him circumcised. They do all this stuff with him. But when Isaac's about 12, you know what God says? Abraham, I need you to take Isaac and go up to the mountains and sacrifice it to me. Can you imagine that journey? Matt's preached on this before. As a father, I don't know if I could have led my son on that journey. And made him carry all the stuff, because I'm 100 years old, 112 years old now, right? So Isaac, you got to carry all the firewood. Isaac, you got to do this. Isaac, you got to carry the torch. And Isaac's like, Dad, where are we going? God will show us. But we didn't bring anything to sacrifice. What was Abraham's response? The Lord will provide. And as Isaac is up on the altar, Moses was going to do this, guys. That's what I want you to understand. Moses was going to do this because God told him to. All of a sudden, off in the distance, you hear a bah. And Isaac's like, man, God provided. The Lord get the ram, bring him back, they offer their sacrifice. 2020, we have a lot of issues. And the famous thing around my house is an issue, not an ish me. That's the girls tell me all the time, Dad, that's an issue, not an ish me. Guys, this is an ish us problem. It's not an ish you, it's not an ish me, it's an ish us. We have got to get this out there. That's part of our journey. That's part of our journey. How many of us want to go home to heaven for eternity? Right? Probably all of us, I would think, right? Probably not today. But if it does, it does. Do you know why we're not there yet? Because we haven't completed our journey here on earth that God gave us to do. And that's to take the gospel to all the ends of the earth. We got ends in Morrow County that haven't been met yet. You know, a lot of us say, well, I'm not a missionary. No, you're not. But there are people you know right now that have never heard God's word. And that stings. We can fix that. All right. Good thing I got all day. All right, we're going to go to Luke 2, everybody. This is where I wanted to be the whole time. But you know, when you start out with one passage, God leads you in many different directions. So we're going to talk about the birth of Jesus, or the travel to Bethlehem. Here's a couple things that stick out to me. Mary and Joseph already have had the shock of being the virgin pregnancy. Okay? That's over. They've dealt with that. They've got that ingrained. She's going to have a baby. Okay? Then Joseph finds out, oh, I got to go to Bethlehem because they're having a census. They want to know where the line of David lives. Okay. So this, from where they left to where they were going, between 70 to 90 miles. Okay? So in my mind, I think, okay, I'll get in the car, I'll be there in 2 hours. Right? Yeah, not so quick. They couldn't Uber from the two places. So they did what they did, and they loaded up a donkey. And I know I've shared this before, but I'm going to share it again. I have led a donkey about a mile in the falling down snow in the middle of the night. Well, not the middle of the night, but for me it was almost my bedtime. It's 7:30. But a guy pulls into my brother's house and he says, "Hey, do you know anybody that's got a donkey?" And my brother's like, "Oh, yeah, my brother's got one out in the pasture. You see those eyes?" What my brother didn't know was I had moved a 5 or 6 year old weather sheep, which is not a boy, not a girl, and had moved it up. Well, this weather sheep for 5 years had lived with 3 horses. So he thought he was a horse. So when I put this sheep in the pasture with this donkey, he was doing horse-like things. And the donkey was like, "No, I'm not a horse. I'm a donkey." He jumped the fence, took off across County Road 46, went out to State Route 19, bumped into a car, did $3,700 worth of damage to this guy's car. The donkey didn't have a scratch. Okay, so we send a search party out to look for this donkey. We go up 19 at the corner. There's a cable guy, DirecTV guy, and he says, like on December 23rd, okay? He says, "You missing a donkey?" And he's got it hooked up with, I don't know, something he had on his truck, a little chain or whatever. I had a halter and stuff that I said, "Yeah, I'm missing a donkey." And I didn't want to lead it back 19 because I thought it was too long, so I went across the field. Let me tell you, I should have went 19 because this field was hilly. This donkey did not, when the donkey doesn't want to go, the donkey doesn't go. Okay? So it took me about an hour to get a mile. So I understand Joseph's frustration probably on this trip. Oh wait, there's more! Joseph was hauling a 16-year-old pregnant woman with him. Now, I'm going to share. I have 3 young ladies in my household. And this week, I came home on Thursday night, and we were getting ready to have supper. And one of those 3 young ladies burst into tears while she's laughing. I'm like, "What in the world is going on?" And her response, "I don't know." Well, anybody that has dads and daughters, I knew what it was, but I wasn't going to say. Well, the next day, we all found out why. And it was what I thought. Can't imagine it. There is no way. 70 miles walking a donkey with a 16-year-old girl, number one, would be bad enough. 70 miles walking a donkey with a 16-year-old pregnant woman. Oh, my. So this journey, they knew it was how they had to get there. There's a lot of trials in that journey. It's no different than what we're going through right now. We have trials on our journey. And yeah, I make light of Joseph's troubles with the donkey, and I make light of whatever. But that's a fun story. But for me, it's more than that because it makes me reflect on what I'm doing for God. So this journey was take 8 to 10 days is what the approximation was. Okay? Anybody ever traveled with kids for 8 to 10 days in a car? We there yet? Rolling the windows up, rolling the windows down. Whatever. I mean, there's no way. "Dad, I gotta go to the bathroom." Yeah. I don't know about it. Here's an interesting fact. I didn't know this till I did some research. Do you know what most of the path they took was beside the road? I thought this was pretty cool. Said they went for miles and miles and miles and saw nothing but olive trees. So, my Savior is being rode, or being in his mother's stomach or womb, being pulled by a donkey, and all you can see is olive trees. I think that's coincidence. Anybody know what they used to anoint the kings with? Extra virgin olive oil. This was Jesus' anointing. He was coming in as king. That's pretty cool. All right, let's read. In the days of Caesar Augustus, issued a decree that there a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph went up out of the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. I'm going to stop there because I don't want to ruin Christmas for next week. But here's what I will tell you, because I'm not going to be preaching next week. That manger right there, that's not what the baby was laid in. That's our interpretation of it. Guys, here's what the baby was laid in. A stone box on the ground, built out of stone, had rough edges, had dirt and dust. Because it's not like you can take this stone box and dump it out. You know, we have some beaters in our sheep pens right now, and they're attached to the gates. And we could dump them out, but we don't. And the amount of dust from the feed or the hay that gets into these feeders, this was not a manger for a king. This was a manger for somebody came to earth to live as one of us. This was part of Jesus' journey. And that's pretty cool. Because what we think, oh, Jesus had it easy. You know, he didn't commit any sin. He couldn't have dealt with anything when he was on earth. Wrong. Jesus went through things that you and I could not handle every single day of his life for 30 years. And then on that day, he went through something way more than we can imagine. And while he was going through that, you know what ran through his mind? Me and you. Guys, as we head into Christmas, Christmas story is certainly neat. But understand, it does not end there. That's the beginning of his journey. The end of his journey is not here yet. Okay? The end of his journey is when he comes down to earth again, out of the heavens, and takes me home with him. The end of my journey does not end when I die. The end of my journey ends when I hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." So all this other stuff, part of our journey. We have to be patient. We have to be kind. We have to be loving. We have to be disciplined. And we have to be God-fearing and God-loving. So as you head into Christmas, understand that it's more than just a Christmas story. And I'm sure whoever's preaching next week will elaborate on the Christmas story. But this journey has a prize that we all know. And that's eternity with our Savior. Guys, as we close today, you know, I get there's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of junk. There's a lot of need. I want you to understand, don't go through that alone. Les, Jesse, Matt, Doug, myself, we would love to be a part of your journey. We would love, we do pray for you every day, but we would love to pray specifically for your needs every day. We can make a blanket prayer for every person in this church. You know, we want you to have good health. We want God to keep his hand on you. We want, you know, go on and on. But if there's something specific you need, please do not hesitate to ask. Because that is part of my journey. God, listen, I did not choose to be an elder in this church. God chose me and developed me so that I could be an elder in this church. And guys, our journey as this church, we all know where we've been, we all know where we've come from, and we all know where we want to get to. But please don't hesitate to ask for help. Please don't hesitate to ask for prayer. You know, you're going to come up to us with problems that we're not going to have the answers to, but you know what? We'll pray through those. We'll pray through those, and there's enough of us praying, and there's enough people in this church to pray consistently. But the power of prayer is immeasurable. So as you're going on your journey, don't go alone. Go with the knowledge that Jesus already went through a journey for you. Go with the knowledge that there are people in this church that love you and want to pray for you every single day. And that's not just lip service. All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you and we thank you for the journey you sent your Son on, the journey that has led us to him, and the journey that we're currently on, Lord. And as a church, just put your hand on us and make us bold that we're out in the community and we're out spreading your gospel, Lord, because we know that's part of our journey and we know that that's the only way we're going to get to our ultimate destination at your right hand, Lord. Just as we go through this week, Lord, just be with us, bless us, use our bodies to serve you, Lord, use our minds to serve you, Lord. And we thank you for the Christmas story. We thank you for sending your Son. Lord, most importantly, we thank you for allowing him to die on that cross and think of me. In your name we pray. Amen. So the praise team is going to be here. Les and Jesse and I will be here. If you have anything, if you need prayer, if you need comfort, whatever, if you need to yell at somebody, all right? Mm-hmm.